it's time for the Punters Panel, where we speak with local older people about the issue of the day. And in the studio today, I have Lucille McKenna and Jude Stoddart have joined us again to talk about the Royal Commission into Aged Care Safety and Quality. And, of course, when we're talking about aged care, we're talking about quite some challenges, aren't we? What do you have experience dealing with ageing yourself, Jude?
Well, I've experienced dealing with ageing in myself, not quite what you meant, I think. Yes, actually, sadly, I do in a way, because it happened to me in my late 20s, early 30s, that my mother had a massive stroke, left her paralysed down one side and unable to find words. And the thing for me was the frightening nature of, you know, leaving my mother in an institution where she seemed unable to speak up for herself. And I found it a real challenge, both finding sufficient care for her when she came out of that institution and for my father, because he also got sick. So, I was quite skilled in negotiating systems at the time, and I had trained as a young social worker. So you'd thought I would know my way around. But actually, I found the pressure of trying to organise something and also to get them to accept the care, they were real challenges. So it's not only the initial issue of being in the hospital, but also then how do you follow up and how do you help people live a satisfactory life when they need support?
Yes, it's a real challenge. I mean, as you know, I worked in aged care for many years, and but when it comes to yourself, I found those challenges exactly as you have with my mum. She had many years in a nursing home because she had dementia, and it was a real challenge to actually leave her each day, even though she was in the nursing home that I was running. So it's so important, though, that the culture is right in these places. It really is about how do they get treated, where people have empathy and where people are very caring. And, you know, you can actually gauge a lot of this the minute you walk into a residential place.
Absolutely.
The way people are speaking to each other, between the staff, between towards the residents or patients, you can actually feel it. But of course, there's another group as well now. It's not just residential carers. There's so many people are being cared for in their homes, and so we have to be concerned about how they're being looked after and whether they're getting good continuity of care or not. You know, changing staff and new people coming into their homes all the time, and the fear that older people have about people in their homes, and there's all sorts of issues with that. So again, we need really skilled people with that empathy.
I think your points about culture are absolutely, and nothing excuses bad behaviour. Nothing excuses some of the treatment we've seen on the videos recent days. But one of the things I think really is important to think about in terms of culture is what's the structure of the industry we're talking about.
Yeah.
And one of the concerns for me is that we've got an increasingly privatised and corporatised industry behind aged care. Mm. So we've got people making millions and millions, billions, in fact, with the Ramsay Foundation, for example, billions, not the foundation, the healthcare unit, making a lot of money. And that's money that's going out of our system, not going into our system. If it goes out in profit, then it's not being recycled within the system. So I think we need to talk a bit about the structure of care as well and the structure of that industry.
Well, the structure is it's really quite sad because, as you've just mentioned, Ramsay, one of the biggest aged care providers is Bupa, and they've certainly don't look too good in the Royal Commission. But these organisations are they're corporations, and the money, well, in the sense of Bupa, I think theirs goes to England. It's certainly not money staying here, but the issue really is that they have to make a profit for their shareholders. I don't really understand how you can be providing the best service and giving the best care to your residents in your homes when decisions are being made in boardrooms and in these corporate management rooms about what will happen in these places. And when things get tight, it's always the staffing that is dumbed down, whether it's less hours or less people or whatever. It just creates this cycle of trying to squeeze more profit out of these organisations. And this is a fairly new phenomenon for Australia. We didn't have these. Corporations couldn't own an aged care facility until the 96 when the Aged Care Act was implemented by the Howard government. And it was bipartisan at the time, but it certainly has proven to be a real problem. Mm. We've seen the number of registered nurses working in aged care dropped by 50% since those days or more untrained people. Also, the other issue that goes with the culture, I think, is leadership. So you need people who really care at the top. You've got to look after their staff so they can look after their residents or their patients.
And I think, I would agree with you that pressure down on reducing your staffing quantity and quality is a real concern within the industry because, you know, it can't be seen as just a few bad apples. We've got to think about, well, is this the best structure for our industry and for the sort of care that we really want to give? And I thought a very important point that somebody made the other day was that we're talking about a rethink now, and it's really important that we get that right. It's going to take a number of years to implement these reforms, and you know, some of us will sadly not be here to see them probably, but in a way we've got to engage the next generation, the younger generation, in talking about the sorts of reforms that we need to have, because they will be the ones that are moving into those homes and getting that care. So we need some really serious long-term planning where the main driver is not the profit motive. It's recognising that we need to treat our people humanly and decently.
Yes, exactly.
Right into their eventual death.
There have been so many inquiries into aged care over the last 10 or 15 years. I've given evidence to at least 3 upper house inquiries. The pricing, what's it called?
The Productivity Commission.
Productivity Commission.
Yeah.
We've had many. I can probably, if I sat down, I could probably find 15 or 20 inquiries. This is an opportunity for this real root and branch look at this industry. I just hope they've left enough time because submissions can continue. They're still accepting submissions. I think it's October that we have the interim report, and then sometime mid next year. So I just hope that they're able to really get a proper handle across these things and really address the issues. To make sure that places are run properly. And as businesses, I don't really know, and for someone who's been part of the industry, my mind boggles at the thought of how this is going to be dealt with.
Yes, one of the things that our speaker, Craig, spoke about was, I appreciate he has to be also very careful, but he talked about the move towards marketisation being at least giving people choice. But I think there's a lot of myths about choice at the moment, because actually to have real choice, first of all, you have to have really good independent information and easy access to that information to understand the full range of services that are available, say for your loved one or whatever. And secondly, you also really need to have effective power in a private market to buy.
Yeah.
And people don't have the sorts of sums of money that now is required to enter into halfway care, in the sense of sort of retirement homes or those sorts of things. The costs are just disproportionate for people. And so I think we have to be really careful when we say, well, there's a real benefit to this because it brings us choice. Choice has to be effective choice. You have to be able to really make those choices, but we're not talking about situations where people have that sort of access to either information or access to endless resources to buy in the options they might want.
Well, of course, a lot of the people that are going into a residential situation can't really make that choice themselves. Many of them can't, either because of some sort of disability or dementia. 50% of people that enter aged care have dementia. So they need really strong advocates, and some people have them, others don't. So there's also some real issues about the way the system is structured in relation to costs, because it should be available to everybody, basically the same service. But unfortunately, some of the private proprietors seem to be actually not telling people the whole truth, so that they actually don't realise that they actually don't have to pay these large amounts of money. So,
and I'm going to have to thank you both, Lucille and Jude, for contributing today on the Punters panel.